Oh yeah, man. If it pays me, I'll paint it. I don't care. I'm not picky. I've done washers and dryers for people and refrigerators and old Coke machines. And I do those big statues. I had a helicopter land in my parking lot. We folded the blades in, wheeled it into the shop, painted stripes on it, wheeled it back out, and it took off. I had to tell my neighbors to batten down the hatches, man.
I come here to do this. Let's race.
Welcome to the Full Throttle journey into all things automotive.
Vectors increase speed to 120.
We're diving into the behind-the-scenes stories straight from the fast lane.
140 miles an hour.
Covering custom cruisers to high-powered track machines and everything in between.
50. 160.
We're here to fuel your passion for everything on wheels. So jump in, because now you're riding shotgun with Ty. Let's go.
He's gone.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining in. Thank you for listening to the podcast today. I am your host, Ty Ellich, and I'm so glad that you have joined us today. I'm very excited about the episode today. We have an awesome guest with us. We have Kurt Robinson with Airbrush Assassins out of Marion, Illinois. And I'm so glad to have you here, Kurt. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. I'm glad to be here. Sorry it took so long to actually get hooked up, man. I just had a lot going on.
I understand. It seems like everybody's busy, got a lot of stuff going on nowadays, more than they ever did.
Yeah.
So let's start here, if you don't mind. Could you tell us a little bit about your automotive background, how you got into cars or into the car world? What hooked you?
Well, I guess what hooked me into cars, just like any other kid back in my day, I played with Hot Wheels all the time, which is, in retrospect, a horrible idea for any parent to give a kid like me, because now I'm not happy with just one car. I got to have a whole box full of Hot Wheels just in real life, and it's just not cheap. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of what started. I just, my dad wasn't even really a car guy. He did taxidermy and worked at Allen's Industry, and they built interiors for cars, and he's a quality control manager. So he just had a nice truck and a boat, and we did all the outdoorsy type stuff. So, man, I guess the whole car thing started with Hot Wheels. And then, you know, back in the day, there was this Cartoons magazine. And, of course, I was very artistic even back then. So I'd draw what I saw in these Cartoons magazines, you know, and I'd replicate them. And I just kind of started the whole art type thing going with me when I was a kid.
All right. So I'm sure taxidermy obviously has a lot to do with the details to make it look authentic and real.
Yeah, actually, the taxidermy thing with my dad is how I started using an airbrush. He had an airbrush in the garage. It's just a single action pache airbrush. And he would use it to do like scales and paint the backs of the eyes and stuff like that. So I'd use them on my model cars and airplanes. And of course, nothing was ever left alone. Everything was swapped around and never put a car together the way it was supposed to. And, you know, it always take this piece off airplane, make this car fly, or, you know, whatever. So even with my bicycles back then, man, I'd take them all apart, do stupid crap to them and paint them. And I guess I've never been able to just leave anything stock. It drives me nuts.
So that's how you got the paint bug, I guess, is through taxidermy and painting your Hot Wheels and stuff like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, in high school, it'd be art class. I was mostly in art class and automotive in high school. Didn't really care much about anything else. I thought, you know, I like cars. Cars are cool. I'm going to work on cars for a living. That's pretty much how it all got going, I believe, man.
Now, I've seen a lot of your artwork or a lot of your projects you worked on Facebook and on your business page. Are there any projects that you've worked on that you're especially proud of?
Oh, yeah, man. I'd say the biggest one is the Batmobile we just did. It's 1966 Batmobile for a customer out of Kentucky down by Bowling Green. And we do a lot of projects for a company called American Giants. And we do these big 22-foot tall statues, man. And they restore them, and I kind of helped train them on how to do some fiberglass work and get them prepped and ready for me so they didn't have to pay me to do all the prep also.
Yeah.
And that way I could just paint them. like you see like the Big Johns and the big Paul Bunyans and stuff. They're called muffler men. So we were doing a Paul Bunyan for a gentleman named Tim out of Kentucky, and he liked us so much he wanted us to ask us if we could do his Batmobile. So I was like, is this a trick question? Yeah. No, I don't want to work on a Batmobile. Are you nuts? So this dude actually paid me to come look at the car. And it was down by Bowling Green, and I'm also a Corvette guy, and I had a Z06, a C7 Z06 at the time. And I'd always wanted to go to the Corvette Museum. I just never have time.
Okay.
I actually got paid to go. So me and my girlfriend jumped in my Z06. We hot rodded it down to Tim's, checked out the Batmobile. He paid me, and we went to the Corvette Museum and had a pocket full of money, and the Ed Roth display was there, and it was awesome.
Wow.
So then we got a Batmobile job out of it and a bunch of Ed Roth stuff for free, basically, and got to see all Ed Roth's work at the Corvette Museum. And man, that was a heck of a trip. That was great. That was like a dream come true for me.
That sounds amazing. I mean, anytime you get paid to go see one of your favorites, I mean, that's a good day.
Oh yeah. I got to get, you know, merchandise. I just had a pocket full of money. I'm like, hey babe, what do you want? You know?
Yeah.
So then we got the Batmobile job and got it here. And it took about a year and a half to finish it because, man, you talk about a project. Holy crap. It's just a ton of real estate on that car. You don't understand looking at a picture until you actually have to reach across the back of that car to sand something or paint something. It's huge.
I bet. It probably doesn't look that big on screen, but until you see it in person.
Yeah, it looks pretty big. You know, you can tell it's a good sized car, but until you really start trying to work on it, it's like, oh my God, this has more real estate than my 64 Cadillac. It's ridiculous.
and those are huge cars. Those are land yachts.
Oh yeah, man. Well, my Cadillac is a little bit longer. My Cadillac's 19 foot 6 inches, I think. I think the Batmobile is 19 foot 4 inches, but it was a whole lot wider. That's what made it really difficult, was reaching across to everything.
Right.
And we had to strip that thing all the way down to gel coat and re-gel coat it and block it again or re-gel coat it. Whoever did the car, whoever built it did a good job building it. It's built on a C4 Corvette chassis. But whoever did the paint didn't do a lick of body work. It's like it got popped out of the mold and they just painted it. It was awful. It took just hours and hours and hours and hours, then more hours of, oh yeah, man, I'm blocking, man. If it pays me, I'll say it. I don't care.
And that's probably I'm not the worst picky. Part.
I've done washers and dryers for people, refrigerators,
just the tedious
old Coke machines.
Oh, the monotony,
big statues.
I had a spray block, smear block.
That's true.
We blocked some more. Hey, I blocked it into the shop, painted stripes on
it, blocked
it back out, and it took off my elbow.
My neighbor batting down the hatches.
That, and I'm older than dirt, so that doesn't help either.
For a Black Diamond.
So obviously you work on more than just cars.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty cool. Not very many shops have helicopters land in their parking lot and take off.
Right? That was definitely publicity for your shop.
Oh, yeah. It was a cool video. It was pretty cool. I wish I've got a cameraman now. I wish I had a cameraman back then. That would have been awesome.
I can understand the helicopter and the Coke machine, but a refrigerator and washer and dryer.
That, oh, yeah.
What'd you do on those?
Just pay them to match. They changed their kitchen, and they didn't want to spend money on a new fridge because they just did. So they just had me paint it. Cool. I'll paint it. Pay me money. I'll take it. I've got a dump truck that's sitting here in the shop right now. The boys are washing it. We just painted the cab black. Company here in town, they rebuild all these semis and sell them, and they bring them to me to put the paint on them. Man, this thing's an old dump truck from FS Gas, and we painted it all black, and they put a new dump bed on, new chrome wheels, and all kinds of new. It looks like a brand new truck. It's pretty cool. I got a fire truck coming in next week from Christopher.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. It's obvious you're very versatile when it comes to painting things, apparently.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do everything from just airbrushing little stuff to. I'll paint semis. In fact, we're getting ready to open a new shop just for semis and RVs because it's a whole different pay scale. And if I have my way, I won't even do insurance any more insurance work for anybody but friends and family if it works out right.
Right.
Still do right now, but, you know, the way the industry is going now, you just don't make that much like you used to off of insurance work, man. Everything's gone up except for us.
Right.
So it costs more for your help. It costs more for materials. And it costs more for parts and all that. But, you know, we haven't really gotten a raise for the shop. So it's getting kind of sketchy. And then, you know, with the RVs and the semis, it's a whole different pay scale. It's over double that the price per hour is.
Yeah. Just the size of it and the material you have to use, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, so the labor rate's higher for these also. And, heck, you know, the location, one of the locations I'm looking at, right across from Love's Gas Station. So you get these guys driving big rigs, you know, and they screw up and they hit the fender and crack it, and they don't want their boss to know because they'll lose their job or they'll take it out of their pay or whatever.
Yeah.
We can fix it for them real quick before they hit the road, and and then they're job safe, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
When you're painting, obviously, I assume there's a different process between a single color and when you're using like a design, like doing a custom design. What's the difference in the process for those?
Oh, man, there's so many variables to that one. You know, a single color, pretty simple, obviously. But let's just say the way people go about doing SS stripes on a Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the next step from just a simple paint job.
Okay.
Everybody does it differently, but I choose to lay down my stripe color first with a little pinstripe around it, and I cover that color. Then I paint the main body color, untape that, then clear it. And that way the stripe color is down lower than the body color. You know, there's a little bit of a lip.
Yeah.
And when you clear it, it kind of helps fill that in better.
Okay, I got you.
As opposed to being on top. Because what happens if you do it on top, even if you paint it, people are still going to go, where's the lip? Or you just put a sticker on that and clear it over it. No. I took hours and hours of measuring this crap out to get it straight, you know. So I do it that way, and it just helps fill it in smoother, and it looks way more professional when that hood, then you look across and light catches it, and you don't have a lip.
That's true.
That'd be the next step up. Then when you get into doing the airbrushing stuff, it really depends on what I'm doing. A lot of times if I'm just doing like True Fire, which by the way has made me a ton of money doing the True Fire, holy crap, I'm about fired out. Skulls and Flames, I can do it in my sleep. But the True Fire, you know, I'll put my base coat down, let's just say black, for example, which is most common. I can just do the True Fire right over the black, touch up what I need to touch up, clear it, done. But if I'm doing something like, say, my bagger that I did that's got big metal flake in it and kind of two-toned and faded and all these different things, and then I'm going to airbrush on top of that so I don't screw up that expensive paint doing a portrait, I'll clear coat it and then sand it back down, and then I'll start airbrushing the portraits and stuff, because that way if I screw up, I can just wipe it off and start over without having to rebase everything. So it really depends on what I'm doing as to how I do it. You know, there's a lot of different variables, which you just learn over time of screwing up.
School of hard knocks, huh?
Yep. It's pretty much, you learn more from that than you do any class, man. I went to John A. Logan for auto body and auto tech, and I've never shown my degree one time to anybody. It was a complete waste, other than to just say, I did the general studies and I'm not an idiot, you know.
Right. They just want to see your results. They don't necessarily want to see where you learned.
Yeah, pretty much.
You had made mention about Gulls and Flames. You've done them so much. Obviously, that's what you would call is hot right now. But are you seeing any paint designs or any kind of trends that are coming in the future?
Actually, yeah, man, that's a real good question. I've been seeing on TikTok and Facebook Reels and stuff like that, these guys doing these, I guess they call it either comic or cartoon paint job, where they're taking the markers and doing all the outlines and highlights with markers and stuff.
Really?
And, oh, yeah, man, actually, I swear to God, it's funny you mentioned that, man. I just bought all the stuff to try it because I can draw cars, so it's just like drawing a car on a car. I ought to be able to knock that one out of the park. And I've got a buddy of mine with a little low rider Nissan truck from the 90s. It's got some paint problems on it, and he's going to make me a couple of cool cup holders for my giant crazy crew truck and for my 64 Cadillac. I'm just going to do a quick paint job, comic book paint job on his truck as a guinea pig demo to say, hey, look what I can do, and try to get some business doing that. It seems to be like the new thing.
So you just basically use markers, draw your design, and then clear coat over it?
Yeah, it's like you take different shades. Like if it's red, you're taking different shades of red, like you're almost watercoloring it on a canvas.
Uh-huh.
And like, you know how if you draw something on paper or you paint something on paper, you have to paint the highlights to make it look real, and you have to paint the shadows. So you do basically the same thing on the vehicle, like you're drawing it on a piece of paper.
Right.
And then it looks like a comic book car going down the road. It's really cool. I saw that. I was like, man, I could do that. So I just got the stuff to do it. And my buddy was talking about doing it. I'm like, I'll make you a deal. You make me these cup holders and I'll do your truck for a commercial.
Absolutely. I haven't seen it, but I'm definitely going to have to look that up after we're done here so I can check that out.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's cool. Look at you can get on YouTube. There's a couple of them I found on YouTube. They're pretty good. Cartoon paint job or comic book paint job. Just type either one in. You'll probably start finding them.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to check that out.
Yeah. So, yeah, Skulls and Flames are old school. They're like the bread and butter of custom painting. You know, everybody likes that. But it gets redundant and old, so I like doing different stuff. And this cartoon paint job thing, I'm like, man, that looks like fun. Might be something to make it fun again for a minute, you know?
Right. So, speaking of your creativity, do you have a routine or anything to get your creative juices flowing whenever you start a new project?
Yeah, it's not really, I don't know, I guess you could call it a routine, but, you know, we're so busy here in the shop during the day with employees and like the guy just coming in with FedEx and like me sitting here doing this.
Right.
I don't get to do a lot during the day because when you're being creative and you kind of get in a flow, and you get interrupted, it's hard to start back into that flow. So, yeah, so all day I get, you know, bombed with interruptions. So I don't even try it. And just the other night, man, what I usually do is, you know, the guys usually, they get here early and they leave the shop around 4. My girlfriend will go off work and we'll go eat and whatever. She'll go home. And then I'll come out here in the shop about 8 or 9 o'clock and keep the door locked. And I just crank on the stereo and kind of get in my zone type thing.
Yeah.
And if somebody rattles that zone, I get off and quit. My stepson was in here working on his truck and he wouldn't quit talking to me. I'm trying to crank up stereo and just think about what I'm doing. And I, you know, looking at the parts and picturing in my head how it's going to look if I run a stripe this way or if I make it this way. You know, I'm doing an old school paint job with the panels and all the airbrushing, like the fish scales and the sunburst and the lace and all that stuff on a bike for a customer right now. And I was laying out the panels and he kept talking to me. I finally just said, man, I can't even concentrate. It's like being here during the day and just getting interrupted. It sounds like a jerk thing to say, I know, but when you're interrupted all day long and you can't do anything, like it's hard to even walk across my house is right by the shop. It's hard to walk over and get something to eat. As soon as I take two steps out, somebody's like, hey, Kurt, like I can't even eat, you know? So after being aggravated like that all day, and then you're trying to do, you know, your custom thing at night and you keep again or interrupt, you just get aggravated. Like, man, if you can't get in that zone, you're not going to do a good job. So I just threw my hands in the air and went home. So yeah, pretty much I just got to be left alone and crank up the music. That's about it. I used to, like when I was airbrushing everything on the walls here in the shop, I'd have people sitting around watching me. Because it wasn't a customer, I was just playing. So that's okay. You know, I mean, I have a whole bunch of, we had a big couch out in the shop and had about 10 friends here just acting stupid and having fun while I was practicing airbrushing on the wall, doing portraits. And then next thing you know, they want me to do portraits for them for Christmas of their kids. That's pretty cool. But I don't mind if people watch, but when I'm trying to figure out, I guess the difference of trying to figure out what you're going to do, that's when I need left alone.
Right.
While I'm actually doing it, I don't care if somebody's talking to me.
Yeah. Man, I'm trying to think 20 years ago or so when Monster Garage and American Chopper and all that came out. you know, and people started getting into the reality automotive building shows. They stuff a whole build within like an hour show, and they may show like 45 seconds of painting the vehicle.
Yeah. I know, it always aggravated the crap out of me.
That's a common misconception. What are some other misconceptions that people expect from you that are not reality?
Well, usually it's just a time issue. You know, they see these shows and it's done in 30 minutes. And they think, oh, well, it's all takes. They don't understand that you have multiple things you're doing at one time, you know. So it's not like if you bring your bike or car and I just sit down and work on that. I got, you know, 10 or 12 others that I'm doing too. Different things too, you know. And when you get to a stopping point on one, you go to the other and you just kind of dance around. And of course, I have employees to help with all that now. But yeah, that's one of the biggest misconceptions due to those TV shows is time and cost. They've screwed up a lot of stuff for guys like me. You know, they have people thinking that there are 64 Mustangs sitting in the backyards rotted all the crap's worth 10 grand. Where, you know, by the time I pay 10 grand for it and I actually restore it, and I sell it, I'm going to lose 10 grand. So it's blown. It's just blown everything out of proportion. And I think one of the other things people don't understand, you know, when you give them a price on how much it is to paint something, whether it's a custom paint job and airbrushing or whatever, and you give them a price, they get price tag scared. You know, they just get struck by the price like, oh my God.
Yeah.
They don't understand how much it costs for a shop like us to do the job.
Right.
And in order to actually make a profit worth all the time spent, it's going to have to be X amount of money. Or I might as well go work at McDonald's and flip a burger, you know, and play with my own toys in the shop and not do it for anybody else. And these days it's really bad, you know, even just simple dents on a car when you got to tell somebody what it costs to fix it. I'm embarrassed because it's just so high. But then they say something like, well, go get a cheeseburger at McDonald's. How much does that cost now? You know? So yeah, it's, and TV shows kind of put a misconception on time and price.
Very true. Now, do you own any customs yourself, cars or motorcycles or anything?
Oh, dude. I've got a 62 Chevy Nova Gasser named Gangrene. It's a legit drag car from the 60s with a Gasser front end. It's got the white wall drag slicks on. The engine sat back into the cowl and wheelie bars and all that. And I got, three Harleys, one bagger that's just ridiculous. It actually has a smoke screen in the exhaust. So you get these guys in their diesel trucks, think they're cute and roll coal on somebody. I can get in front of them and I can smoke them out for a quarter mile. I got like a Batman smoker on my backer. And I got a 31 Model A. It's all hand built. It's a big project. I got my 64 Cadillac. We're putting 1,000 horsepower turbo LS in it. We're going to tune it down to about 700. It's built for 1,000, but it won't be 1,000. I got a 69 Ford Van Shaggin' Wagon project, 70 El Camino I need to do. I got too many Oh, here's a good one for you. If there's anybody that's listening to this that's older that is used to the old Street Machine Nationals when they were good.
Yeah.
I've got a Toyota truck named True Blue. It was in a bunch of magazines back in the 80s and 90s. It's an 80 Toyota pickup. It was Skyjacker's demo truck back in the day and Mickey Thompson.
Yeah.
And I got it, and I'm restoring that. And I might actually take that to Mecum Auction as our first project to try to take to auction.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's a little Toyota truck that's like a little big truck. You want to grab the cab of it and push around the parking lot, make truck noises. It's like a stomper. It's cool crap. Oh, yeah, and then I got my 86 crew cab with 12-inch lift on it and 42-inch tires. That's insanely huge, named Crazy Crew. Yeah, it came from a mental hospital originally before it got built like this.
But the story behind that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good story behind the crew cab, man, how it came to get here and get named and everything. It's a pretty neat story.
So where can our listeners go to view your work or get more information on your shop?
Facebook's the best thing, man. You know, I've tried signs and all kinds of radio ads, and none of them do as good as just Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And my t-shirts, I make t-shirts and I give them to customers. You know, if you get a custom paint job done, I give you a t-shirt. People actually wear them because I spent the money to get nice, soft shirts.
Right.
Hell, those do better for me than anything on advertising. If anybody wanted to try to find me, Facebook, Kurt Robinson, or Airbrush Assassins, or I Know a Guy Body Shop.
Okay.
And I'll admit, I've been really slacking on posting on Airbrush Assassins and I Know a Guy. It's mostly just on my personal Facebook, it seems. I need to get more on that. And then TikTok, got a TikTok page too.
Okay. Everybody that's listening, check him out there, find out his information, check out his work. I know I have, and man, there's a lot of great projects on there that you've done.
Yeah. We did a purple 64 Le Mans convertible for a customer. It turned out really nice too. That was a big project. It was all floors and quarters and all kinds of crap. And it's painted House of Colors Passion Pearl. We were supposed to have a House of Colors seminar here, but the weather prevented that from happening this winter. So hopefully spring we'll have another House of Colors seminar where they bring in a artist to help teach people stuff. And we do it here and I can help them. And we might actually be doing like an airbrush class. That would be kind of cool.
That would be cool. That'd be awesome.
I'll be posting that. If we do it, it'll be posted on all the pages.
Okay. Okay, so be on the lookout for that. So we've come to the part of this episode that I like to call the last word, where I always give our guest a chance to have the last word of the interview. You can leave our listeners with words of inspirations. You can do shout outs. If you got something on your mind that you just like to say, go ahead, Kurt. The floor is yours.
And I don't know. I really pretty much said everything. Guess really just check out the pages, man. TikTok, we got some pretty good videos on there. YouTube, Airbrush Assassins. I'll try to get updates on the Facebook pages. I really need to get back on that. I've been slacking hardcore. Man, that's really about it. I mean, I'm going to assume most of the people watching this are just in the industry and may go to the page to see how to do something or, you know, get ideas or just see what somebody's doing. But I can also say if anybody needs any advice, I have no problem if somebody calls me and says, hey Kurt, you know, how should I go about doing this certain thing to this car, you know, or this motorcycle. I have no problem telling you, hey, mix this color with that color, or prep it like this, or use this color, or whatever. If anybody needs some advice, feel free to call me, man. My number's on my web pages, so
yeah,
I'm more than happy to help anybody.
That's awesome. That's what's great about the car community for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty good people for the most part.
And that brings us to the end of today's episode. Kurt, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to sit down and talk with us today. We really appreciate it. And everyone that's listening out there, thank you as well for joining in and riding shotgun with me again today. I really appreciate it. And remember, whether you're tearing up the track or you're cruising them back roads, embrace the grit, embrace the grind, and the open road. That's all for today's episodes, everybody. This is Ty, signing off. Until next time, drive on.